Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today is All Saints' Day, the day on which we remember all those who have died in Christ. We remember all those who have died trusting in our Lord and Savior from as their Savior from sin and death and the devil. This includes the most well-known believers like St. Peter and St. Paul and St. John, as well as the lesser-known believers known to us, like those who at one time sat in these pews and knelt at this altar and drank from the same chalice. But what are these saints doing now? What is eternal life with Christ like for them? What is the difference between here and heaven? Well, some of the key differences can be summed up in what they are not praying. They are not praying the fifth, sixth, and seventh petitions of the Lord's Prayer, while we here on this earth are praying those petitions, and we need to. Take a look in your hymnals at page 324. Page 324 in your hymnals. This will take you to a portion of the Small Catechism, which is included in its entirety in our hymnal. There on page 324, if you look at the right-hand column, you'll find the fifth, sixth, and seventh petitions of the Lord's Prayer with their meanings. The saints in heaven, those who have died confessing Christ and trusting in Him, do not need to pray these three petitions. On page 324. They do not need to pray, first of all, the fifth petition that says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Why? Why don't they have to pray this? Because they don't sin any longer. They don't need to ask that God would, as we read here in the meaning, not look at their sins or deny their prayer because of them. They have been washed of all of their sins. As we read in our reading from Revelation today, in a description of the saints in heaven, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Their robes are white. That means they're clean. They're not dirty with sin. They are holy and righteous and do not need to ask for forgiveness. They have no guilt any longer because they have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died to shed His blood for them. But at one time, they did need to ask for forgiveness. At one time, they needed to ask the Lord for mercy because while they were here on this earth, they did sin. And they needed forgiveness. They were born first with original sin. They were born sinful and unclean, heading away from God. And they needed to be washed in the death of Jesus Christ at their baptism. And in holy baptism, they were washed and given the new birth of water and of the Spirit. But even after baptism, because they had a sinful nature that still was with them, they continued to sin. And they kept praying for forgiveness, saying this fifth petition, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And like us, they received forgiveness. They received forgiveness not because of their fervency, because they simply wanted it, but simply because of the death of Jesus Christ for them. That's why. That's the reason that they could receive forgiveness. And many there, while they were here on this earth, they received forgiveness from their pastors in the absolution. They received the forgiveness of God through these pastors, through the body and blood of Jesus given to them in the Lord's Supper. And that's what we are doing now. We are continuing to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," because we are struggling with sin and fighting sin. because we fall to temptation here on this earth. Although we are saints, we are a holy nation. We are God's people. We have been made right with God by the blood of Jesus bestowed on us in our baptism. Although we are saints, we are at the same time sinners who have a sinful nature, and we struggle with sin, and we keep needing to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." But those family members of yours, those people you see described in Scripture who died in faith, trusting in God's promises, they don't have to pray that anymore. They are clean, they are washed, they are clothed in white, they are before the throne of the Lamb with palm branches in their hands, and we are looking forward to the day that we will be with them, and we will be done with sin. We, the saints who have been made holy in the blood of Jesus, who must hear on this earth, in the midst of the temptations of this world, we must humbly come before our Lord and ask Him to hear us and to forgive our sins. We ask Him to forgive us not because we have made up for our sins by our good works, but we ask Him to forgive us because of His grace and mercy. Grace and mercy given because of what Jesus, the Lamb of God, has done for us by being punished on the cross for our sins. But the saints in heaven don't only have to not ask for forgiveness. They also do not have to pray the sixth petition, which says there, "And lead us not into temptation." After all, they're not tempted. They don't meet the temptations at all. They are not deceived or misled. We, on the other hand, have to pray this prayer. We must pray, as it says here in the meaning on page 324, that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. We pray this because we are attacked by these things each and every day. Satan attacks us. He wants us to believe something else. He wants us to believe what the world says and follow what the world does. He doesn't let up. It reminds me of being at a wave pool or standing in the shallow waters at the ocean. The waves keep coming again and again, buffeting us, attacking us. This is what Satan does. Like those waves that come pounding onto the shore again and again and again, Satan keeps tempting us day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, because he wants us to fall. He wants us to believe something else. He wants us to believe that what the Lord says is not good enough and that we should believe something else. But the saints in heaven are not attacked by these things. We must pray that we will finally overcome the temptations and win the victory, as we say here in the sixth petition. But they have already won the victory. This is why they are called the church triumphant. They have won the victory. We are the church militant because we are still here under attack. But they have not won by their own power, and we will not win by our own power. As it is said in heaven of the worship of God, is recorded here in verse 12 of our first reading, "Power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Our Lord is the one who is in charge. He is in control. He has all power and might, and he grants us through his word and sacrament, by the power of his Holy Spirit, the strength to stand against Satan's temptations. But it is all by his power. And that is why the saints in heaven are there. It is all by the power of God. And by the grace of God, should we die in faith, trusting in Christ, we will be there in heaven before the throne solely and totally by the grace of God. And there's one other petition that those in heaven do not need to pray, and that we must still pray, the seventh petition. We have to pray, "But deliver us from evil." we need to pray this petition, summarizing really all of the Lord's Prayer, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. We live here amidst evils of body and soul. We hunger and we thirst, we have want. But the saints, we hear in our reading from Revelation, are sheltered with the presence of God. That they neither hunger or thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. We see death. We see suffering. We are deceived and fall to temptation. We cry tears of sorrow in this valley of sorrow. But for the saints, as we read in Revelation, the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The saints in the church triumphant no longer sin. They no longer need to ask for forgiveness. They no longer need to ask that God would keep them from falling into temptation. And they no longer need to ask that they be delivered from evil. Because right now, they are delivered. The saints, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John, and all the saints who have died in Christ, including the ones who sat here in these very pews where you are sitting today. All who died trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. These people, these holy ones, these saints are standing in white robes with palm branches in their hands before the throne of the Lamb of God, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." They have all been saved from sin, rescued from evil by the triune God, all because of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed in their place for their sins. They are before the throne right now. And in a few minutes, that same Lamb to whom they are singing will be here with us in his body and blood, really present with us, giving us the very body and blood to eat and to drink. The very body and blood that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins and the forgiveness of our sins. And we long to be with them now before the throne in the eternal worship of God, where we will serve day and night in God's temple, sheltered forever by God, and finally delivered from all evil. That's what we are looking forward to in the midst of this life. More than anything else that we can look forward to, that is what we look forward to. And we get a taste of that. That thing that we are eagerly anticipating every single Sunday. As that same Lamb of God, whom those saints, the saints we knew and other saints that we did not know, that Lamb of God, there on the throne, surrounded by the saints, that Lamb of God comes to us. And we gather here in this place around him as well. Around the Lamb of God and receive him in his body and his blood. In fact, we sing things that are being sung before the Lamb. We sing the song of the angels, "Holy, holy, holy." Just as Isaiah saw this when he saw a vision of heaven. We sing those same words and we remember that we are before the very Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. The Lamb of God whom we want to see in all his glory, whom we want to see with our own eyes. We want to be gathered with all the saints around that Lamb, and we have a taste of it today and every Sunday, as we gather around that Lamb in his body and his blood. And so, in the meantime, though, we pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray these petitions that the saints in heaven don't have to pray. We pray for forgiveness, for protection from temptation, and finally, to be delivered from evil. We pray, in other words, to be in the presence of Jesus with all the rest of his saints. We pray that at our last hour, whenever it comes, that our Lord would give us a blessed end. And what does it mean to have a blessed end? It isn't to die with the most toys, or the most life experience, or the greatest wealth, or even the biggest family gathered around us, or to even have the biggest funeral. It is to die clinging to Jesus Christ and His cross, trusting that the death of the Son of God is the one and only payment for our sins. This is a blessed end. This is the blessed end that every saint in heaven has been granted. And this is the blessed end for which we pray in the Lord's Prayer. They are the church triumphant. We are the church militant. We are still attacked by Satan and his troops as the demons tempt us each day to stop loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as they tempt us not to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. As we sang in the wonderful All Saints hymn that opened our service, we feebly struggle, they in glory stand. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are now in the great tribulation. You are battling Satan every day, who wants you to sin and to fall to temptation and does not want you to be delivered from evil. But in the midst of that, you look forward to the day that you are without sin and do not need to ask for forgiveness. Look forward to the day that you will not be led into temptation. Look forward to the day that you will be finally delivered from evil. As you pray the Lord's Prayer today, before we receive the Lord's Supper, before we gather around the Lamb in His body and blood, do not let that Lord's Prayer merely roll off your tongue while your mind is far away on some other topic or something else that's coming up today. As you pray, forgive us our trespasses. Look forward to standing before the throne of the Lamb of God, washed clean of sin by the blood of the Lamb in pure white. As you pray, lead us not into temptation. Imagine being done with any desire to serve yourself, done with all the bad habits and the addictions, all the struggle, all the pull of the devil and the world and your sinful nature. Imagine that weight of the struggle against sin being lifted off of your shoulders. And as you pray, deliver us from evil. Imagine closing your eyes in death and waking to new life with Christ, and being gathered by the holy angels and carried to our Savior to be wrapped in His nail-scarred hands in His love forever. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.